Money FM 89.3. Best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for Why It Matters. Did you know that 10% of the population in Singapore suffers from migraines? In fact, migraines is one of the most common conditions of a primary headache that often occurs in people aged between 20 to 64 years old. Now, emerging research now suggests that there is a potential link between migraines and the presence of a hole in the heart, known as a patent formerin ovulate, or simply PFO. It's not something that perhaps you and I are familiar with, but more than half of all infants are born with a PFO, and in most cases, it closes on its own within the first few months of life. However, in some people, that hole unfortunately remains open. So we're going to try and understand this and its link with refractory migraines. On the line with me is Dr. Rohit Kuruna, who is a consultant cardiologist at Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center, Singapore. Dr. Rohit, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. Good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction there.
I appreciate your help on this. A lot of terms that I'm personally not familiar with. You're the best person to answer. First up, what are refractory migraines?
Right. Okay. Thank you, Elliot. And it's nice to speak to you and your audience. So, Elliot, I'm sure you know a migraine is a type of headache, particularly debilitating for those people who suffer from it. And it's a subtype of headache, which has a very classic description. And a refractory migraine is really a migraine or a sufferer from migraine who really isn't responding to the traditional treatments that they are on, medication-wise, or also if maybe they've got an excessive number of migraines, the frequency is high in a given year or a given month, right, despite them taking their medicines for the migraine. So fortunately, refractory migraine affects a minority of sufferers, between about 5 to 20% of typical migraine sufferers. So as you said, migraine is about 20%, 10 to 20% in the population, and refractory migraines, worsening migraines in these patients, are a minority of these migraine sufferers.
And for the purpose of the conversation, there's this other issue that we want to look at, which is the patent foramen ovale, or PFO. Mm. The risk of that if left untreated.
Yeah, so that's the angle I come from. As you said in your intro, I'm a cardiologist, and we have a particular interest in all things to do with the heart, including the heart structure. And as you said, a patent foramen ovale is actually a hole that exists in all neonatal hearts. And it's very much a part of the normal structure of the heart in the embryo. And it's a hole that connects the upper chambers of the heart called the atria. Now, the whole purpose of this connection between the atria is to bypass the fetal lung circulation, which of course is not necessary, when we are developing as embryos. But then after we're born, this hole is redundant, and so therefore it closes in the vast majority of people. But I'm not sure whether you said this in your introduction, but about a quarter of adults have a patent foramen ovale. In other words, the hole, it's not really a hole, it's actually a flap-like structure, which does not close between the two upper chambers of the heart. So it's this connection, this flap-like connection, which remains patent. In other words, it remains open in adulthood. And the reason why, we're discussing it in the context of migraines is that there is thought to be an increased incidence of people who have migraines with a PFO.
Mm. It took me about 3 tries to get that pronunciation right, so it's a ovale, doctor. Yeah. But like you mentioned, the connection between the two. So, real-life scenario, I wake up in the morning and I'm suffering from a headache after a long night's rest. That shouldn't be the case. My first instinct is to test my blood pressure because there is a link, and obviously the heart is right in the middle of that. But this one sounds a whole lot more serious because, like you mentioned earlier on, no response to medication. So 4 Panadol pills, no effect.
Yeah. So basically, Elliot, you're right. There are lots and lots of different types of headaches. And, it's usually a neurologist you know, that looks after people with migraines.
Okay.
You know, you wake up with a hangover head in the morning. you hope that doesn't happen very often.
No.
You won't see a doctor for that.
Yeah.
You know how to manage that. But migraine sufferers, you know, really have a specific type of migraine. And within the migraine patient subgroup, there are those people who have what we call an aura. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with that medical term, but an aura is basically a collection of warning symptoms or symptoms, sensory symptoms, that can occur before or during a migraine attack. So it's a very, very specific type of sensory disturbance, which can be visual, it can have a sort of a sensory component to it. It can include, for example, flashes of lights or blind spots or tingling in the hands or the face. And again, about 30% of migraine sufferers have one of these typical auras. So again, it's the minority. So we're talking about a small subgroup of migraine sufferers. Migraine is a specific type of headache. PFOs are more common in people who are migraine sufferers, and PFOs are even more common in people who are migraine sufferers with these warning symptoms, these sensory warning symptoms called an aura.
Okay.
And yeah, that's what I want to try and educate and message, get some messages across in today's conversation with you.
Well, I appreciate it. And just as a layman listening to you describe it, I would look at it as unnecessary activity. It's out of the norm. Therefore, you should go get this checked or speak with a professional. To the area that you specialize in, doctor, how would I get it diagnosed?
Yeah. So basically, we tend to work very closely with neurologists. And it's often, you know, people have a migraine, as I mentioned, will often go and see their primary care doctor, and they'll be starting on all the right treatments. If it becomes more complex, then they'll go and see a neurologist. They don't think, as you said at the beginning, they don't think, oh, a migraine, hole in the heart. There's no connection with others, cardiology specialists. So often the route that we get to see people is either for something completely incidental, completely separate from their migraines, and we pick it up because we do a structural heart screen, or because the neurologist, who are usually very clued up on the association between these PFOs and migraines, will often refer to us. So often our first referral point of contact is either from a GP, it's either from a neurologist, or it's either incidental. And what we do to pick up a PFO is we do a structural heart scan called an echocardiogram.
Mm.
Echocardiogram is an ultrasound-based test, which I'm sure most people know what that is. And it's essentially just, you know, we put some jelly on the chest wall and we scan the heart and we can look at the blood flow going through the heart, the respective heart chambers. And if we see or we suspect that there may be a PFO, sometimes what we do is through the back of the hand, we put a very small cannula and we inject bubbles by way of, it's called agitated saline.
Ah.
And saline, you know, is just salt water, which is completely, you know, it's like water essentially. And we sort of create some bubbles by squeezing up and down, squeezing the saline up and down very vigorously in a syringe. And then what we do is we put that saline into the back of a person's hand, and when it gets to the heart, we make the person do some breathing exercises.
Mm.
And what that does is that it actually increases the pressure in one of the heart chambers. And if there are bubbles going across the heart chamber, then we can see it on the ultrasound. And that is called, and that's what helps us diagnose a PFO or foramen ovale. It's a very, very specific type of test. Sometimes if it's a very, very large gap, a very large flap, and the communication's quite large, sometimes we can see it just because of the ultrasound-based test, but sometimes we have to use this saline or agitated saline bubble contrast to have a look to see if bubbles are going across from one side of the heart chamber to the other. And that's how we diagnose it.
How will it be treated then? Does it have to be an operation?
No. So the vast majority of people are asymptomatic. They're very well. They don't have any complications in the vast majority of cases. And, you know, it's, as I said, about one in four in the adult population actually have, you know, PFO. Mm. But in the context of a refractory migraine, in the context of somebody who has another even more worrying worrying complication, such as a stroke from a PFO,
yes,
then we may put it to that person after counselling and after maybe a discussion with the neurologist as well, whether that person is a candidate for closure. So then we go down the risks of discussion and counselling about closing the PFO, and I can talk about that as well.
Okay, and tell me a little bit about, we've got a little bit of time for that, in terms of closing the PFO, so that's not an operation as well?
No, so when people worry about holes in the heart and they think about, you know, surgery, often, you know, the reflex is to think open heart surgery and major, you know, major incisions in the chest and, you know, long times in hospital. So, I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, okay. I had a case very recently of a young lady in her early 30s who had this exact scenario, a case of being a migraine sufferer for many, many, many years. And she was on multiple four medications, and we identified, or her doctors who referred her identified, that she had one of these PFOs with a very, very large amount of blood. And that's an important point. Sometimes we know that people who are migraine sufferers and have a large PFO, in other words, the amount of blood crossing this hole or this gap, is significant, maybe as a greater risk association for these migraines. Identified and picked up this PFO, and obviously there's a lot of uncertainty about what the right thing to do for it was. She was worried that it required open heart surgery, as many people do, to consider closing it. But actually what we do today, and it's been a standard device that's been around for many years, we go via a very small incision in the vein, in the leg, so it's just a small nick. We pass a tube called a catheter, which is a flexible plastic tube, which is only about 2 to 2.5 millimeters in diameter, up to the heart chamber. And we pass a wire, which is all under ultrasound guidance, and the individual, of course, is sedated. And these special devices look like a sandwich, and it's two circular discs, which have obviously a small connecting piece in between. We pass one side of the disc on one side of the heart, and the other side of the disc is placed on the other side of the heart, so the small, so it's sandwiching the hole, and that's how we typically close them.
Wow.
And I can tell you the procedure takes really from making the incision to bringing the patient off the table about 30 minutes.
That's fascinating.
And it's really, really safe. And, you know, and in this particular individual, you know, she was essentially cured of her migraines. And so it's a very, we look for it because it's a very satisfying procedure to treat. But as I say, I mean, the decision to treat with one of these closure devices is very much after quite a lengthy discussion with patient and neurologist and other, you know, other parties such as the GP.
And other than the migraines, does that reduce, and I'm not sure if I'm being too layman here, does that reduce other potential risks like heart attack risk or stroke risk, that sort of thing?
So one of the, it doesn't have any bearing on heart attacks.
Okay.
Heart attacks are a very separate problem which affects heart health. So, but certainly, you know, what we understand is there are a subset of people out there who have strokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you know what a stroke is, it's basically where, well, there's multiple mechanisms for a stroke.
Yeah.
Some people's strokes are caused by blood clots, which pass to the brain arteries and lodge in the small vessels of the brain. And where that blood clot comes from could be from the vein circulation in the legs, which travels up to the heart, and rather than going through the lung circulation where it can be filtered, it crosses through the PFO and goes to the brain circulation and lodges in the small vessels in the brain and causes a stroke. Now, so over the years, you know, that we've been in practice, me and my colleagues who are cardiologists, we will see these young people who have got these strokes with no typical risk factors, such as high blood pressure or diabetes, or they're a non-smoker. And so they don't have the typical features of somebody who would be a high-risk stroke patient, but they've got a PFO. And the theory is that these small blood clots, which originate in the lanes of the veins of the legs, can pass up to the brain through the PFO. So what we also find is that closing these PFOs can, first of all, reduce the risk of a recurrent stroke in these young people who have these odd presentations of strokes when they should not be having any. Or if some people have these almost like a mini stroke, not actually a stroke, stroke, which results in any damage to the brain, what we call a transient ischemic event, which again is a medical term for a precursor to a stroke. They also benefit from closure of their PFO if they've found to have one in the workup, in the investigations and the workup to look to see why they've had a stroke or a precursor to a stroke.
That is fascinating. Thank you so much, Doctor. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I've been speaking with Dr. Rohit Khurana, who is consultant cardiologist, Harley Street Heart and Vascular Center, Singapore. Thank you again for your time, Doctor.
Thank you for your time. Hopefully it was useful. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.